afterwards.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Wine, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery.
Labels themselves, they become an art form.
We encourage listeners, wine enthusiasts, and winemakers to call the show and discuss topics related to wine.
This is Stuart Scott from Camas Prairie Winery.
Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235.
We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available.
Always informative and entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
It's all about wine.
So, Alabama.
And now, from Florida State's Winery, Ron.
Oh my goodness, they're really going nuts over here in Louisiana.
Yeah. It's no snow and no wind or rain, and it's just, you know, so.
Let me look outside the window. Yeah, you're right. I don't see any snow down here.
No snow.
And that's what I came down here for, that and the wine show. And you're not here, and there's no snow, so I don't know what to do now. I guess I'll turn around and go back. I have to go back to work tomorrow. So.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes, and go to work. But it is 51 degrees, almost 50, well, about 52 degrees here in Slidell, Louisiana, which is on the southeast, well, kind of the east corner of Louisiana, just across the border from whatever that other state is. And what is that?
Mississippi. We'll be doing Mississippi in a couple of weeks, too. So.
Yes, yeah. We will. So looking pretty good here. Clear skies, clear tomorrow, and some rain chances coming around on Sunday. So otherwise, pretty good here in Slidell, Louisiana. And if you'd like to call the program, please do. Ron is on the main host board here, and we'd love to take your calls. It's area code 646-727-3235. Call us. We'll screen your call, make sure you want to talk on the air, and then we'll put you on the air. So, but tonight, Louisiana. Hello, Ron.
Louisiana.
Yes.
We, yeah, Louisiana, good state. We got,
Jeff?
Jeff from Landry Vineyards we're going to be talking to in a little bit here. But first, I want to fill you in, everybody, and a little bit about Louisiana, like I always do every week. Louisiana is located in the southern part of the United States, down at actually on the western side of the Mississippi River, south of Arkansas, east of Texas, and west of Mississippi, with the Gulf of Mexico being on the south of it. Louisiana also is the home to New Orleans, which everyone, I'm sure, is probably familiar with New Orleans. Katrina hit the area back in, what was it, 2005? I think Katrina hit. Yeah, in 2005, Katrina came right up and hit New Orleans and that area there. And it also affected a lot of the vineyards. In fact, when we talked to Jeff from Landry Vineyards tonight, they rebuilt their vineyard and moved it after Katrina. Katrina necessitated them to find a new place. They did, and they're much happier, they say, at their new place. I'll let him talk about it, though. Louisiana is pretty low elevation. It is actually below sea level in some areas. Some parts of New Orleans and that area in the southern part of the state down in the Delta area has very low elevation, 0 to 150 feet, just barely above sea level. You don't start getting any height in the state until you get on up into the northern part of the boot or over into the our northern part of the tow area or way over in the eastern or the western side of the state next to Texas. Then the elevation rises up there, but not a lot. You're only looking at 600-700 feet at the most over there. The high point in the state is 535 feet. That's in Driscoll Mountain. with the low point being actually minus 8 feet below sea level, and that's in New Orleans. So it's a very low-lying state, and because of the low-lying state, you would expect the soil to be pretty poor soil, but actually I'll let when Jeff gets on, I'll let him talk about the soil more, but a lot of sand. It is the Delta River, or the rivers all run south of it. Mississippi River, the big one, runs down the eastern side of the state and then cuts right down through the state and dumps out the Delta into the Gulf of Mexico. There are lots of other rivers running everywhere in the state. It really is a lot of low-lying areas, a lot of rivers running through the state. The counties, and Louisiana doesn't call them counties, they call them parishes. There are only 64 parishes in Louisiana. One thing I did notice about the parishes, a lot of them are named after saints. You've got St. John the Baptist, St. Charles, St. Bernard, St. Landry, St. Martin. A lot of these are named after saints because of the influence of the original French settlers and stuff in the area. Highways, northern part of the state, 20. Interstate 20 runs through the northern part of the state, which is Shreveport and way up at the north part. Interstate 49 comes out of Shreveport, runs to the center of the state and on down, which connects to I-10, Interstate 10, which comes out of Texas and also Mississippi, runs the southern part of the United States. I-10 runs the length of the southern part of the United States. You can catch I-10 over in Florida and take it all the way out to Los Angeles, Louisiana's southern part. 12 also is out of Baton Rouge. 12 runs from there to Slidell, where Mike is tonight, with 10 dipping down a little bit and picking up New Orleans and then back on up again. 55, Interstate 55, is in the toe of the state of Louisiana, runs north-south there out of Mississippi into I-10. That I-55 is really a great route, too. I've taken that road coming in out of Mississippi, and it's one of the fascinating road because you're on, well, basically a bridge over the swamp for miles and miles and miles. It's just really interesting. There's a few turnoffs every once in a great while, but you are really traveling over a lot of swamp area there. The rivers I mentioned a little bit earlier, the state's covered with rivers, and the Mississippi being the largest, but there are lots of other rivers running throughout the state, all of them connecting into the Mississippian areas. Lake Pontchartrain in the eastern part of the state is a big lake, although you have a couple other smaller ones, White Lake and Grand Lake, Lake Kalkaskew that is in the southwestern part of the state. So there's a lot of rivers, a lot of lakes, a lot of water in Louisiana. And because of this, you don't have a whole lot of vineyards. We only have 6 vineyards in Louisiana. I know, not many at all. And what's so fascinating about it is, except for the one we're going to be talking to, all of them are located down in the boot, down in the toe of the boot, rather, of the state of Louisiana, or the toe of the shoe, or whatever you want to call it. If you look at Louisiana, looks like a shoe with a toe going out to the right. And it's most of them are located there. Biggest winery, Lake Pontchartrain Vineyards, is located in Bush, Louisiana. And Bush, Louisiana is located north of I-12, east of 55, and sort of a north-northwest of Slidell. So it's not too far from where Mike's sitting tonight. Lake Pontchartrain is just south of Slidell, southwest of Slidell. the Pontchartrain Vineyards, the oldest one in the state. Pontchartrain Vineyards has been there for quite a few years. They first opened way back in, well, for Louisiana standards, way back in 1985, I believe. Let me double check this. I believe it was, I'm sorry, 92. They opened in, or 91. They first had their site open in 91. And they've got approximately 34.5 acres on their site in Covington. The they do have a, well, Louisiana has two different types of grapes. They have vinifera type grapes, which is hybrid grapes, French American hybrid grape, and then they have a lot of fruit wines. And most of, well, like Pontchartrain, our Pontchartrain Vineyards does the fruit, or does the vinifera, as does Landry, which we're going to talk to. Everyone else does mostly fruit wines. Pontchartrain Vineyard has Cynthiana Norton planted in Blanc de Bois. The Blanc de Bois is a Florida hybrid. University of Florida created this hybrid for southern climate. And so they have a Blanc de Bois planted just shy of 10 acres there, and they have just shy of 10 acres of the Cynthiana Norton planted. So it's rather large operation there. The man who runs the place, the winemaker, is John Siegel. He was he's the founder and president, general manager, all around every hat. Born in 1943 in New Orleans, and he's been doing the vineyard for most all the time. Family members and everyone else have taken over and done quite a bit of it since. John is getting a little bit older. He hasn't been doing as much on site as he was previously. He's, well, I'd say a little bit older. He's only about 67, 68 years old. So that's not, you know, that much older. But not anymore. Since we're getting older, that's not much older. So yeah, my engineer in the background just pointed that out to me. yeah, I guess it's all relative. but it's Pontchartrain is the big one in the state. There are I'm going to go in a little bit more into some of these other wineries and stuff shortly here. But I did talk to a winery located, well, it was located in the cluster of all the wineries in the toe of the state of Louisiana, and that area of the state, and that is Landry Vineyards. They were located in West Monroe, and the hurricanes went through, and when the hurricanes went through, West Monroe is actually pretty close to the winery of Lake Pontchartrain. It's north of I-12, east of 55, and sort of west-northwest of Slidell. When the Hurricane Katrina went through, Jeff and Libby, who are the owners, moved. And when they moved to the northern, northeastern part of the state. Quickly, well, I talked to Feliciano Winery. I will fill you in on them. But we are going to get a hold of Jeff tonight, and I talked to him about it. Instead of me telling you a whole bunch about the winery and a whole bunch about them, we are going to talk to Jeff and let him tell us about his winery, about about Louisiana soil and climate and the grapes he's growing. And actually, Jeff has quite a passion. I was talking to him earlier, and he's very grape growing is quite a passion with him. So we have Jeff standing by, do we? Let's see. Jeff, are you there? Jeff, are you there?
Oh, wait. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Good.
Hello.
Hello.
Here.
You're on the air now. This is Jeff from Landry Vineyards. He is the winemaker, proprietor, owner, and he and his wife Libby and their four sons, Ethan, Cohen, Noah, and Micah, are part of their family. And I guess the boys are old enough to be helping you now, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. They've been involved in the business from the very beginning. And let me say thanks, Ron, for having us on.
Oh,
we sure appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad you were able to join us tonight. Tell us, I'm just going to let you talk. I'm going to let you talk about Landry Vineyards. I'm going to let you talk about the soil, the grapes you're growing. I'm just going to let you tell us about Louisiana wines and Louisiana wineries and Landry Vineyards in particular.
Well, first of all, you were asking about the family, and that the family is what got us started in this business, looking for something we could do as a family agriculturally, and something that would help us to train up our boys to be faithful, strong, hardworking young men. And you know, the wine industry has proven to be a good tool for training young men. So that was really the motivation in starting the winery. Additionally, we had a passion for wine. I grew up loving agriculture, and then later in life, like many, I began to really appreciate wine more and more. So we found a winery in our backyard, basically, in Folsom, Louisiana. That's where we started the business. Puncher Train Vineyards was and is growing wine grapes there in deep south Louisiana on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain in a community called Bush, Louisiana, near Covington, Louisiana, which is a little larger area, but a nice-sized city, especially after Hurricane Katrina. And a lot of people left the city and moved up to Covington and Folsom in that area. Well, we were in Folsom, Louisiana, discovered Pontchartrain Vineyards, and I told my wife, I said, this is awesome. I cannot believe we can do this right here in the deep south and grow wine grapes and make good wines as Pontchartrain Vineyards was and is doing. And so we decided let's grow some wine grapes. Let's just start off just growing wine grapes. And so we planted Blanc du Bois there in Folsom, Louisiana, and within 3 years had a nice crop of Blanc du Bois. But unfortunately, did not have a market for the grapes because Pontchartrain Vineyards had apparently a successful year and wasn't able to take our crop. So we had 10 tons sitting there in the field.
Wow.
And no place to bring the crop. And so suddenly we decided, looks like we're about to be in the wine industry. So that's exactly what we did. We bought, unfortunately, another winery was kind enough to us, Amatos Winery, was kind enough to us to make the wine there, and we participated in that and then bottled it there and got our license and started the winery right there in Folsom. So we got off to a quick start out of necessity. And that wine sold very well and quickly, and we expanded the vineyards, and then came Hurricane Katrina, which didn't do a great deal of damage to our property, but our concern for the place we were located was that, for one, it just didn't have the attraction that this place that we're in now does. It's a beautiful area. Additionally, the soils are heavy there in the Savannah clays in South Louisiana, where we were in Folsom, are heavy and get rain at the wrong time of the year, which is July. The rains increase, so the precipitation is inverted from just opposite of Folsom here in North Louisiana. So the rains start early in the spring and decrease into the harvest season, which is July and August. So you and I were talking earlier about some of the problems. And fortunately, we're in a decreased precipitation area, so the fruit is able to mature well, and sugar levels are able to come up. They're not hindered or decreased by the rains as we experienced in South Louisiana.
What bricks you pick at?
What grapes do we grow? Is that what you?
Oh no, what bricks are you picking?
Oh, what bricks? We're about 21.
Wow, that's pretty good then. Yeah,
it is good for especially for the deep south. I mean,
yeah,
it's very good because we. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just think that's what I was wondering. You know, because on the program we've talked about bricks before and how vineyards try to get their bricks up for harvest. And I usually say it's lucky if the south and stuff get above 17 or 18, but 21 is a
right.
good level. You know,
we this year we picked Blanc de Bois at around 20. We picked Cynthia Anna Norton and Black Spanish closer to 21. And
wow.
Down in South Louisiana, one year we hit 19 in a drought year, and the rest of the years it was 15 to 16.
Yeah, that's about average for South. I mean, that's about what we hit.
I agree.
So okay, mm-hmm. I was curious. You mentioned that, and I wanted to, you know, clarify. Go.
You know,
go
the other thing is the acidity comes down nicely, and we get good flavor from the wines. The only thing that we do get that we have to watch for and we've learned to deal with is scorch. Here we have, it's very, as I was saying, very dry. We don't get a lot of cloud cover. The Gulf of Mexico influence is minimal here, so we don't get those evening thunderstorms. But when we get to June and July, there's basically no rain and very little cloud cover. So we need leaf cover.
Uh-huh.
The way in which we do the amount of leaves that we leave, we don't do any leaf pulling. We hope to, you know, maximize leaf coverage to prevent scorching. We had a little scorching this year. It was really hot this year, but you know, it's just a matter of like any region. The issue is, well, how do you handle viticulture in your region? What are the grapes that you grow? And everybody has problems. You know, no, I don't care where you are in the world, everybody has problems. So how do you deal with your problems? That's the question. So we're very pleased with this viticulture area, and we look forward to this region becoming more and more popular for wine growing.
What you can tell the grapes that you are growing, the Blanc de Bois you mentioned, the other grapes that you grow and the wines that you're making now?
Well, Blanc de Bois, Cynthia Anna Norton, and Black Spanish. Blanc de Bois we do dry and semi-sweet. Both sell very well, more so the semi-sweet. As I'm sure you're aware of, a lot of people are starting to drink wine. That means that there's more and more sweet wine drinkers. As they come to the wine market, they're learning how to drink wine. And typically, they're looking for something a little fruity and a little sweet. I've observed that sweet wines do not sell, but the semi-sweet wines that have a nice fruit character sell very well. Now, our passion is for the dry wines, particularly myself. I'm enjoying a nice glass of dry Merlot, barrel-aged. And we're doing some of those style wines also, and they sell well, but not as well as the semi-sweet wines just because the market is so big in that area. But we're in North Louisiana where people are even more so getting more acclimated to wine. This is the Bible Belt, and a lot of people are coming to the realization that there's, in moderation, wine is good, you know, in accordance with the scriptures and Christianity, you know. So
right.
this is good, and we want to be a positive part of that growth and understanding in our community. But going back to the types of wines that we grow, that we're creating, as we said, Blanc de Bois. Cynthiana Norton and Black Spanish, we blend Black Spanish and Cynthiana Norton. You know, Cynthiana Norton is the Virginia seedling, which came out of Virginia. A lot of discussion over the origin, Dr. Norton versus a farmer who had discovered it on this little island, etc. Well, whichever the case may be, it is a native grape and it's disease resistant. Here in the South, it does not produce the heavy styled wines that it does in Missouri. It produces a light-bodied sip wine like a Pinot Noir, and although it has a nice fruit character, it's significantly different from the wines that are produced further north.
Huh.
So what we do is we blend it with Black Spanish to give it more body, barrel-age it, and it's a nice dry wine. We call it Envy Rouge now, which is spelled Envy. Envy is in French in South Louisiana, which is we're Cajun people from South Louisiana. It's very common to say, I have an envie for crawfish. I have an envie for different types of grapes. So we call it, and in the French culture, it's very common for people to say that. We're calling this wine Envie Rouge, which means craving rich. So anyway, it's been a hit. We sold, you know, the first vintage in about 50 cases, but we sold it about a month or so and at a nice $20 a bottle. And then the next vintage is in the barrels right now, being made and are aging, I should say. And so we're just patiently waiting for it to be ready. We're careful not to over barrel age this wine because of its body, which is more of it's not light bodied because of the Black Spanish, but it's kind of a medium bodied style wine, not heavy. So it doesn't tolerate a great deal of oak. You can easily overpower the wine with the barrel aging and the oak character of the barrels. We use French and American oak barrels, but all that said, additionally, that's from this property. And then we also are growing muscadines because people, I'll tell you a quick story. Every time when we first came up to North Louisiana, about every other person that came through the door said, and I'm going to give you a little accent, a taste of the accent. they would say to us, you got any of that muscadine wine? And it didn't take too long to realize we're gonna have to make muscadine wine. So we are making muscadine wine and selling the hell out of it. So it's a hot seller, and they love it. So we're going to continue to do that, and looks like we're growing in that. So we have to make what the people want. We can't make what we like. But the business is doing well here in North Louisiana. And then, as I was telling you earlier, we're also bringing in fruit from California, Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon. We bought Cabernet from Washington State this year. We bought some port grapes from California, made a nice port wine. We're calling it West Monroe, Louisiana Cotton Port. You know, there was a famous cotton port here in North Louisiana on the Ouachita River. And you know you can't call wine port anymore. If you discussed that before, about
yes,
13,
we, yeah.
Okay, 13 off-limit words. The federal government's kind enough to cooperate with the Europeans, and we can no longer use...
Yeah, they're cracking down on all that.
Port. Yeah, so I could say some unkind words about all that, but nevertheless...
Believe me, I do a lot. You can ask Mike. I do that a lot, say unkind words about the government.
So we're kind of circumventing the system there, and we're going to call it West Monroe, Louisiana Cotton Port. It's been rejected twice, and we're hoping that it will be approved shortly now that we've demonstrated to the federal government that there is such a place as West Monroe, Louisiana Cotton Port. We're hoping that this last attempt will be successful, and we'll have a label approved here after about 3 months of the wine sitting in the bottle waiting for the label approval.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's been a struggle, but we'll get there, and we're just priming the thing. Is they're gonna? I think when it finally does get released, they're gonna fly out of here because people are just that we sample it in the winery, but we tell them they can't buy it because we don't have a label. So we're really priming the pump well. You know, when it finally gets released, I think it's going to be going real fast.
It sounds like it will be.
So it's exciting. It's exciting to see the response of the people in this region. We're doing concerts out here in the spring and the fall, and we get a great showing for that. We'll get several hundred people out here for that. So, and they're drinking lots of wine. You can't bring beer. You know, you have to drink wine.
That's the purpose of it.
Tell us
a little bit while we're on, while you're still here with us before you leave us, tell us a little bit about your weather. One thing I do want to point out, too, that you told me, you start getting bud break as early as March, and you're harvesting as early as the end of July, beginning of August.
That's right. Usually, Blanc du Bois will bud out approximately 2 weeks before Easter, and it's in danger of late frost damage. We smoke this place up and out of Saca, South Louisiana fog in here with a bunch of smoke, you know.
Yeah.
And so it happens almost every year, and we've been successful at protecting it. Then Cynthiana Norton, like Spanish, they butt out a couple of weeks later, and usually after Easter, and they're out of the danger. But, yeah, so then we usually harvest Blanc du Bois in July, towards the end of July, and then the middle to the third week in August, Cynthiana Norton and Black Spanish reach the optimum harvest period. So,
wow.
And it's hot. It's very hot.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be out there picking. I have another question. Black Spanish, what is the origin of that? What family, where did that come from?
Came from Spain. That's everything that I've read says that missionaries to Texas brought Black Spanish, which is also called Lenore, from Spain, and it was, the purpose of it was for port production for communion wine. So that's what they brought, and it turned out, it was one of the few that turned out to be disease resistant. That's my understanding of the story. It is not as resistant to Pierce disease as Blanc du Bois. This is just my observation. I don't have any kind of scientific information here on this, but my observation is that it's not as Pierce resistant as the other two, as Blanc du Bois and Cynthiana Norton. It shows more signs of Pierce.
But it
tolerates it. It does not die. It survives.
We have a grower that's not too far from the winery, my winery down here that, a few miles away, that has some Norton in the ground, and his test positive every time he gets it tested for Pierce disease, and yet it's flourishing. So
that's right. That's right. It tolerates it. Everything says that it tolerates it in the system. It actually flows. It doesn't hinder the xylem from flowing. I can very well see pressure, but for some reason, more so in South Louisiana, on Blanc du Bois. It would drop all its leaves. All the pictures that I find on the internet of Pierce disease symptoms and everything it mimicked it perfectly, and then it bounced back.
Huh.
And it didn't do it every year. Some years, if I went after the glassy wing sharpshooters, it would not go as bad into the pressure. So I don't understand exactly what's going on in the system. I've just taken some approaches and We've done well through it, so.
Well, that's good. I mean, Pierce disease is a nasty little thing to get hung up in your plants, and so it's good to know that it's surviving all that. I was talking to your wife Libby earlier before you were busy, and you joined me a little bit late. We were talking about a few things too. Local officials, as far you mentioned your battle with getting label approval federally, but what about local officials, local and state government? Do you have problems with those? Are they cooperative, indifferent? What is the word with Louisiana officials toward wineries?
Locally, both are very supportive. And when I say supportive, I mean they give me what I need and they stay away. I don't look to them for a lot of help in terms of I don't want their financial help. Just give me tax breaks. So I don't think the taxpayers should be building my winery. You know, keep the roads up around us. But anyway, you can hear kind of my philosophy on a lot of that type of stuff. But the local government was very supportive. There was a $1,500 required license fee for any alcohol production in our area prior to us coming, and they created a wine producer license for $50 a year.
Wow.
For us and any other winery that wants to start in this region or in our parish. You know, we have parishes, not counties here in Louisiana.
Right.
So they have been very supportive on a state level. We have the same thing, the $50 fee for our Louisiana state wine producer's license. I mean, that's basically what I demonstrated to the local authorities, is that, look, here's what the state did in order to encourage this industry. Can you follow suit? And they said, absolutely, we'd be glad to. You know, so
huh.
They did the same. They don't, we get our quarterly inspection from the Board of Health. We really don't get a lot of pressure from anybody. We try to behave ourselves and be a positive part of this community, and they support us, you know,
in
the way that I've just explained.
That's good.
We're thrilled.
Yeah, I can imagine you would be. Believe me, I've talked to different states, and I've heard horror stories. So,
let me tell you one other thing that they've done for us. That they have, within our state wine producer license, we are able to go to festivals and farmers markets all around this state without any additional licensing from the state, show up, pop up a tent, and sample our wine right there on the spot.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, the local authorities have to approve also, which is typically not a problem either. But the state that's under that's a long story behind this, and I won't go into it, but we lost our right to wholesale direct to the retailers, to the stores, and as a result of that loss, we were able to negotiate for this other avenue to be able to promote the winery at different events. And this is proven to be very good for us. If you don't take advantage of it, a lot of wineries haven't, because it's a lot of work. But it's an inexpensive grassroots way of promoting a local winery. And I would attribute much of our success to getting in front of the customers and develop relationships with people.
Without a doubt. And let me expand on that. I was talking to Libby about this, and she said that you don't have a state association. Grape Growers are a state winery association, and the possibilities of self-distribution stopped. And so that's why you all lobbied to get this, so you can go to shows and markets and art and craft shows and all that stuff.
That's right. That is correct. Exactly.
So,
the association just hasn't. I mean, we're all spread out, and during this whole process, we all kind of, some of us fell on different sides of that whole argument, and I'm not saying that was the main catalyst for us. We had an association, but it was fairly inactive. Most of us have good relationships with one another, but we share information and et cetera. But for whatever reason, we just don't have a strong association. It's unfortunate. Perhaps LSU will get more involved in this industry. I look to them to do that and help us to pull together for some good causes.
Yeah, and something else you mentioned that surprised me, too, during our earlier conversation was that LSU does not have an enology and a viticulture department. That really surprises me. Almost every state in the nation does. What do you look to, Mississippi or where to?
No, largely we don't. I'd love to participate in some of the Texas – activities, Texas wine activities and everything, but we just we haven't done a lot of that just because of the amount of time, you know, so busy with everything. But I really they are excited about it. LSU is, particularly locally, they're very encouraging on a local level. I really think that they'll come around soon. We've gotten a lot of publicity, and it's become more and more popular. So they have to pick up their heads and look at us now, you know, and appreciate what we're doing, and they do. I mean, my extension agent is here on a regular basis, and he comes to our events and everything. So,
oh, good.
Anyway, it'll get better.
We gotta be
positive. We can't beat them up too much. I mean, they gotta encourage them.
They might be listening. Who knows?
they will be, because I'll put it out there.
Yeah.
They're good guys. I mean, look, what it takes is funding, right?
And that's right.
The you got to. They got to get. They have to have something that pays them for doing that. And my extension sir agent can come by on a periodic basis, but beyond that, there's no money for it at this point.
Well, see, that's something. A lot of states, so much of your sales goes towards that stuff. I'm finding this a lot of places. So I obviously Louisiana doesn't have that type of system yet.
That's right. The excise tax, you know, it may be a penny or 2 pennies per liter. But right now we only pay 3 cents per liter. I didn't say that, did I? one answer is to increase the excise tax slightly.
Right.
It could generate a great deal of revenue for the promotion of Louisiana wineries, both from a viticultural standpoint and an advertising standpoint. And that has been done in other states. You're correct.
And that's, you know, and that really is a good way to do it, I think. I mean, just, you know, and
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I want to be careful not to spend the taxpayer's dollar unwisely, but one way that would really benefit everybody is just from a viticultural standpoint.
Right, it would. You know, and wineries are attracting people into states and to spend money in states.
Right.
It's, you know,
right.
It's happening all over the country. I mean, it's just, I'm sure you get your tourists. I get a lot of tourists, and it's money being spent in the state, which helps the state coffers that way. 20
right.
acres you have up there in that in your new location, and
correct.
You say you've got 9 acres. Planted right now,
correct.
And then looking at expanding it probably next year or maybe this year even.
Right. Not this year. We just ran out of time and too much to do. So next year we're going to do a little better planning, hopefully, and complete the rest of it. But on this property and from there, it's, you know, for me, I'd prefer. Get growers involved. That's my goal, is to have growers involved, form a growing association, a wine growers association, and get some good fellowship and discussion going that'll help to further expand our knowledge and ability to grow quality wine grapes in our region. It takes a community. It really does in every way, you know, to be successful in this industry. And community of growers would be a great thing. That would just excite the heck out of me to see that happen.
Well, there you have yourself a purpose. The vineyard, the tasting room's only been open a little over a year.
Right.
And so you're looking at your second full summer of it. So
had a great Christmas season in the tasting room, and then it's just steady growing, more and more people coming on a regular basis. We haven't spent a great deal of money on advertising, but the word is getting out, so we get more visitation to the tasting room. And then the concerts, as I said, are great for promoting the tasting room and getting some sales going. Again, the Christmas season was great in the tasting
good.
Room. So anyway, it's all
on
good.
On your concerts, do you just do wine, or do you have snacks or food or anything?
Yeah, we do some food also. You know, we're Cajun people, so it's Cajun Cajun food. It's jambalaya, boudin. Do you know what boudin is?
Yeah.
Okay. Boudin, red beans and rice. some sausage, and of course, yeah, that's wine, no beer.
Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds absolutely great. Well, Jeff, I appreciate greatly you talking with us tonight, and I'm going to let you tell us your website, your address, your phone number, all the stuff. If anyone wants to get a hold of you, I'm going to let you tell all that contact information.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Well, Landry Vineyards, L-A-N-D-R-Y, vineyards.com. You can go there. You'll see the little Facebook icon. We love Facebook. It's been a great tool. So you can friend us on Facebook. Good way to get to know us more. You can call. We're open every Saturday. The tasting rooms are open every Saturday, 11 to 5:30, and we welcome people to drop in. Just give us a call before they come. But they can call 318-557-9050 or 9051. 9050 is my wife, so call her first. But anyway, I've been working the vineyard and then in the winery. But no, I love meeting people and being a part of that too. But let's see, what else? Anything else you can think of?
No, I think you probably covered, sir.
Your location, street location?
I'm sorry. Thank you. 5699. Now, this is a tough one, but we call it Natchitoches. Now, that doesn't make any sense to anybody that's not from Louisiana.
But seeing the spelling of it. You're right.
And so I'm going to say Natchitoches. It's N-A-T-C-H-I-T-H-O-C-H-E-S, West Monroe, Louisiana. Of course, you can Google us, and you'll find out, or go to LandryVineyards.com and find everything.
Well, Jeff, I want to thank you very much. I'm looking at a picture of you. I'm going to describe the people. We got Jeff on his website. Jeff's got himself a beard and looks very distinguished. And I say that simply because I have a beard and I'm distinguished. So therefore, I know the beard's good.
Everybody says, how did you get that young woman? How did you get such a young lady? Well, actually, we're the same age. So I'm sorry. I took all the aging, I guess.
The aging, left her young. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ron. Thank you very much for having us.
Jeff,
thank you.
And, good luck to you and everything you're doing up there.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
God bless.
Thank you.
Yeah,
bye. Okay.
All right. That was
great. Yeah. I was looking at the schedule he's got. April 17th looks like the next outdoor concert. Bluegrass and a Glass is what it's called. And, they have quite a few things going on out there. It's a neat setup they have. So if you're in that area, and even if you're not, plan to be, and go visit them. And I'm sure they'd love to see you there. And let them know that you heard about them on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. That's Landry Vineyards down there in West Monroe, Louisiana. So
that sounds
very cool.
So good. That Cajun food with that wine.
Wow.
I mean, really.
We should do a road trip.
Yes, we should. Yes, we should. And start doing live broadcasting. Once we finish all the states, then we'll go back and revisit the states and do road trips.
From the location.
There you go. I like that. I like that.
Wow. Okay.
But a little bit, Landry Vineyards, a little bit about they have a Blackberry Merlot, which is blackberry wine blended with a Merlot wine, and it is fruit-forward, not real dry. It's sort of a semi-sweet that they do. They do a Blanc Dry, which is a blend of Sauvignon Blanc and Blanc de Bois, which is the Florida hybrid. And this one's a fruitiness, peachy pear, tropical fruit with little hints of wood in it. They do a Blanc de Bois semi-sweet wine, which is the Blanc de Bois semi-sweet French hybrid wine grape, again from the University of Florida. It is a little bit fruity wine, tropical fruit, peach, peary type aromas and taste. They also do a Blackberry Merlot semi-sweet wine. I told you about the Blackberry Merlot drier. This is semi-sweet. They also do a dry Merlot, but this is a blend. It's not 100% Merlot. It is a blend. They've got some Norton Cynthiana mixed in with it. And one thing I noticed, too, and I mentioned to Libby, Jeff's wife, when we were talking, they always refer to it as Cynthiana Norton or Norton Cynthiana. Mm-hmm. And everywhere else, every other state we've ever talked to has either said Cynthiana or Norton. But we haven't, and they just refer to it as the Cynthiana Norton in Louisiana, which just seemed odd to me that they did. But a dry Merlot blended with the Cynthiana Norton. They also do a little bit of barrel aging with that one. They have a semi-sweet Merlot, more fruit-forward, not the typical dry Merlot style. They also have a Muscadine Blush, which is the classic Muscadine style, the La Native Muscadine, the sweeter style Muscadine. And then, like he said, they're coming out with a port as soon as they get approval on the label and Cabernet and some of the Merlots and stuff. So they do have a good variety of it. You can check shipping possibilities. Go on to their website and click on shopping, and then click on the 12-bottle shipment or the 3-bottle shipment, and it will break them down for you and show you what they are and the cost and all that stuff. So you can get a hold of them, and you can take care of it that way. I was going to talk a little bit more about a couple of other things here. Feliciano Vineyard. I called Feliciano Vineyard, which is another one in the great state of Louisiana, one of the other wineries in Louisiana. And Feliciano Vineyard is located also in the tow area of Louisiana, the state of Louisiana, just north of New Orleans and that region. In Jackson, actually, is the name of the town. Actually, more north of Baton Rouge than New Orleans would be more an accurate prediction. Jackson, which is east of the Mississippi River. The person I talked to there, Lee, answered the phone. Lee was funny. I told him who I was and why I was calling, and he says, "Well, I'm just answering the phone." I said, "Well, I just have a few questions. If you can answer for me." He goes, "Well, I just answer the phone." I said, "Well, you know, that's great, but maybe you can tell me a little bit about it." He goes, "Well, I don't know. All I do is answer the phone for him." So I said, "Well, okay. How many acres?" He says, "Well, we got 15 acres." I said, "Well, see, you can answer a question." And I said, "What grapes you grow?" He says, we grow the Carlos, the Wheeler, and the Isom, which is all Muscadine grapes." And I said, "Well, great, wonderful." I said, "What type of soil?" "Well, I just answer the phone. I don't know any of that stuff." And I said, "You get freezes or anything in the weather there?" "Nope, no freezes." He said, "This state." And I mean, this is a New Orleans man. You can just tell by his accent and stuff. I said, "How about the summers? What's that?" He said, "They're hot." And I said, "Well, you know, 100, 120. He goes, "Inside, if I'm sitting here answering the phone, it gets up to 120. And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well," I said, "anything else?" "No." He says, "I'm just here answering the phone." He said, "You know, I volunteer to come and answer the phone for him to answer questions." I said, "Well, Lee," I said, "I had questions." He says, "And I answered them, didn't I?" I go, "Yes, you did. Thank you very much." So,
wow.
So Lee, okay. Thank you, Lee. If you did tune into us, I did appreciate your time. But he was funny. He really was. You know, he answered a few questions for me. Feliciano Cellars Winery, located in Jackson, and they do have the Muscadine type wines and all that. So if you're you can get a hold of them. Just look up Feliciano, Feliciana, Feliciano Cellars Winery. I think their website is, I don't know, I can't see it here. I'm on it, but I need to go back so I can see what I clicked on. Feliciano Cellars is their website. Something else I want to cover here quickly, too, and I always talk about this whenever we talk about wineries or regions or anything, is AVAs, American Viticultural Area. I asked Jeff earlier on conversations if they do have an AVA, and he goes, yes. He says it's called the Mississippi Delta AVA. He said, but there's no wineries in it. And I go, oh? He goes, yeah. He said, we have an AVA, but nobody has any wineries in that AVA. And I said, oh. And so, you know, we went on to something else. Well, I looked it up. The Mississippi Delta AVA was created in 1984. And it includes portions of the Mississippi Delta watershed of the lower Mississippi River in the U.S., okay? The areas of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee, which is all south and the eastern part of Mississippi River, which seems to me the Mississippi River Delta might also would include, if it included Tennessee, might also include parts of Arkansas, but it doesn't. The total acreage is 3,840,000 acres, or approximately 1,553,000 or 554,000 acres. And the wines that are produced in this AVA are muscadine grapes, none others. And it's very little viticulture area in the Mississippi Delta region. When we start, I glance at some of the other states here, and there's hardly any vineyards within this AVA. And I'm wondering, why was it even created? The Mississippi State University established an enology laboratory to research grape cultivation in this area, but no commercial activity has resulted from this. And the few wineries that have produced wine in the Mississippi Delta AVA have used the muscadine grapes. And nobody really labels their wines the Mississippi River or the Mississippi Delta AVA. So, I don't know. It's very strange. It just struck me as extremely strange to have an AVA that nobody uses. A rather large one, as a matter of fact, almost, you know, just shy of 4 million acres. So, wanted to cover that. But Louisiana was fun. Again, Jeff, thank you very, very much for talking with us tonight. It was very informative, and yes, by all means, thank you. And we enjoyed it tremendously. And I'm going to let Mike tell you about our festival this weekend.
Yeah, coming up, and I want to say hello to our guest and Felix in New Jersey, who are in our chat room right now. So I just want to say hello to you guys, and I don't know what guest is, but hello.
Yeah.
I just offended somebody who's the guest going, wait a minute. anyway, check out the Wine Festival this weekend, this Saturday, January 29th, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. That's Wine Festival at Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. It's going to be excellent weather. We're going to have our temperatures are going to be fantastic. It's one of those I want to call in sick and do something days, and go to the winery and enjoy Wine Fest. There's vendors. There's going to be music. Who's your live music this weekend? Do you know? Is it Angelo Cook again or
Sam Osborne?
Sam Osborne. Okay, excellent. We'll be there and live music. So you want to come down and it's going to be a great time there at the Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52. That's 25241 State Road 52. You're 4 miles west of Interstate 75 off of exit 285. That's State Road 52. You look for the signs. And give them a call at area code 813-996-2113, 813-996-2113. They'd love to hear from you. Let them know you heard about them on the show. And also email cork@floon.com. That's C-O-R-P. At FLEWN.com, or visit the website for more information. Let me see how much time I have. Oh, 56 seconds. Visit the website at FloridaEstatesWines.com. FloridaEstatesWines.com. Check it out this Saturday at Winefest from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at Florida Estates Winery. Yeah, that was really interesting.
It was a good conversation. Again, Jeff, thanks. That was really, really great to have you call in and all that. So next week we go to Maine.
Maine.
Yeah, Maine. That's the next one on the list. I'm just so excited about our road trip coming up after we cover all these. Maybe I can do the first thing.
Yeah, our second year, 52 weeks or 50 weeks. I got to figure out how many states we have. Our second year will be actual on locations. So
on location.
We'll see you on next. We'll see you on next weekend right here. Stick around. They're gone.
Bye, everyone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they're. I see the countdown went to zero.
It went to zero. Yeah, it didn't say
okay.
Bye or anything. It just quit. Now it will say bye and quit at 9 o'clock.
Really?
Yes, it has for the last 2 weeks.
Huh.
We have been sitting here, and Kathy and I have been sitting here, and all of a sudden the computer says, Blog Talk Radio, goodbye.
Why are you sitting out here until 9 o'clock?
I'm not. I'm not. I close out everything, everything's off, and then it comes on, Blog Talk Radio, goodbye. See,
at
it
9
says
o'clock.
Now on the switchboard, the show is on but not streaming.
Yeah.
So at 9 o'clock, it goes off and it tells me goodbye.
Well, that's odd.
Yes. First time it did, Kathy and I looked at each other and going, what?
Yeah.
Then it did it again last week and we're going, huh?
We're not on the air right now, are we?
No, we're not on the air. It says the show is not on, but it's still streaming.
Yeah. Show is on, but not streaming. And I got to check into that because, I know it cuts off after 60 minutes, but...
But see, with this new thing we signed up for here,
right?
We have, what, a three-hour block or something that we can do?
Yeah, I think it's... Well, I think this one gives us 2 hours or... It might be three. I don't remember.
It's 2 hours.
So
if it's 2 hours, then at the end of...
Yeah, that would make sense.
At 8 o'clock or at 9 o'clock, we're done, and it tells us that we're officially done then. So I think that's why it does it.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't understand why you would hear it.
I don't either. But it's just it comes in. Everything's turned off. Everything's done, and it comes in and tells me, you know, goodbye, Blog Talk Radio, goodbye. You know, our cute little group accent.
Yeah. But then, so you must still be connecting with Skype then, because you're not disconnecting or hanging up on Skype?
Yeah, I hang up on everything. I clear the whole computer and everything. I mean, just,
weird.
I've always done, I just, I close it all out, and I tell Kathy my sign, as they say in the business, that's a wrap. And I say that, to her, and she doesn't like it, and that's why I keep doing it. And so, I do that every show, and... Then at 9 o'clock, 5, 4,
that's odd.
2, 1, Blog Talk Radio, goodbye. And
wow, that's odd.
I know. I know.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
I guess we'll try this again next weekend, and we'll put Maine up there. So,
yep. So Maine up there, I'll see if I can get a hold of somebody in Maine that's not snowed in and that can talk to us about wine. I mean, with all the snow up there, they're not going to have a whole lot of customers, so they'd probably be willing to talk.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That'll be good. Okay. But we're not streaming right now.
Yeah.
I just want to make because I'm still seeing the end show now button, It's like, okay, why is that still available,
I don't know. It says on the switchboard, show is on but not streaming.
Right. Yeah, I see that. I just, okay, that's strange. Let me go
and
to...
And you dialed out good. You got a hold of him real easily there.
Yeah, that was it. That was very good. Let me get all about wine. Yeah, that was that worked out really well, and it took a little while to answer, but he was right there, so that was good.
Yeah.
It could have been on my end. It's on demand, all about wine. Oh, I guess so. I don't even see this one on here. Maybe it's still processing.
Yeah, probably is.
Okay.
We got 12 wineries in Louisiana, I think.
Well, I think it said 6.
Or not Louisiana, in Maine. In Maine.
Oh, in Maine? Oh, okay. Wow, okay. Well, sounds good. Then I'll expect maybe we'll have some people to call next week.
That would be good. It's good to find out that we can call.
Yes.
Like
and
that.
I talk to them off the air and, get them all set up, and as soon as I bring them on, they're ready to go. So, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, that
works out real well.
Real well. I mean, just like we're professionals.
We get that broadcaster award at the end of the year.
There you go. Now I have to take the private jet out to Hollywood.
Yes.
Or New York City, wherever you do that. I don't know.
Oh, that was riding style. Next time, and we'll see what we can do for the next show.
All right, what happens.
If you're not
working Saturday, come on up and get a bottle of wine.
Yeah, excellent. That sounds like a plan. Well, I keep saying that.
I know.
One of these
don't
days.
Make it, Billy. I'm not concerned.
All right. I'll see
you
after
later. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks a lot. You too. See ya.
Thank you.